Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. So often we breeze past these acclamations found in Luke, the angel's proclamation to Mary, her Aunt Elizabeth's response in today's reading, Mary's own song of praise, drawing from several Old Testament passages, including the song of Hannah, which we recounted today in our own words in the Canticle of Mary. We skip right over these affirmations. Quite often in liberal Protestantism, they embarrass us. Many critics, like Bishop Spong and several others, say that the entire virgin birth story is demeaning to women. Many proponents, like our brothers and sisters in the Roman Catholic Church, will use this story to so project Mary out beyond humanity that she is even beyond our touch, almost a semi-divine character, beyond our comprehension, beyond our experience, beyond our understanding. Both sides err. One saying it is meaningless for us, the other saying it is beyond us. Both err. We frequently err. The Gospels don't do this. The early church didn't do this. Luke doesn't do this. As we've seen in our study of the Synoptic Gospels in the Pastor's Bible study the last several months, the sources of the Nativity story come to us through several different streams. In Matthew's Gospel, the focus seems to be on Joseph's experience. The proclamation of the angel went to Joseph there. It's Joseph who's the principal actor. Mary just kind of along for the ride. She's sort of like the carrier of Jesus. Joseph is the principal actor, the principal decider, the principal character in the story, Joseph and Jesus. Luke's gospel, however, seems to draw from traditions that focus in on Mary. It seemed to come from Mary's perspective. The proclamation of the angel Gabriel goes to who? Mary. We have Mary's experience. We have Mary's ponderings. It says that Mary considers these things in her heart. The point of view is for Mary. In fact, Mary is the principal actor here. Mary and Mary's family, her uncle and her aunt. It's interesting, these two different perspectives. Of them, Matthew's is sterile and meaningless, whereas Luke's grabs me. Grabs the attention and has grabbed the attention of Christians for centuries. It's clear from our study of the Gospels that Mary was called by God, not so much because she was perfect, but rather because she was faithful. Because she was willing to open herself, despite her culture's proclivities towards saying women are unimportant and incapable of making decisions, and without authority and power, despite all of that from her culture and society and era, Mary was chosen because she was willing to exercise faith and say, yes. We see this proclaimed in Elizabeth's proclamation this morning. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed are you among women. That's said first. The mother of my Lord comes to me. She's again the actor here. Mary's arrival, she is the focus. Blessed is she who believed, who exercised faith, who said yes to God's call. Mary said yes in Luke chapter 1 verse 38, where she said in response to Gabriel's message to her that she would bear the Christ child, that she would bear Jesus, that she would become the mother of the Savior of the world, that she would become the mother of the Messiah, the anointed one of God, that she would become the mother of Jesus the Christ. She says in verse 38 of Luke chapter 1, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord." That, by the way, is a powerful statement. A servant of Yahweh God? A servant of the Creator of the universe? A woman didn't have the right to say that. The men served God. The women served the men in their society and culture. "Here am I, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Now, the statement wasn't necessary. If she was required to do this, if she had had no choice but to do it, then the statement wouldn't have been necessary. But instead, she says, "Yes, let it be with me according to your word." I have called this for years now, in contradiction to my brothers and sisters who view the story of the virgin birth, the story of Mary, as demeaning to women. I have identified this as Mary's liberation. For God chose her. Now, just put out of your mind for just a moment the biology. If it had been possible for a man to bear a child, you better believe God would have chosen a man. In their society, in their culture, that would have been the choice. No. God chose a young Jewish girl, a very young Jewish girl, younger than you, Becca, a young Jewish girl, pretty much the least in their society. God chose Mary. And she knew she had the ability to say no. But she said, "Let it be with me according to your word." And in so saying, in so expressing her faith, in so exercising the grace God was giving her, and expressing her faith in saying yes, Mary opens the way for us all. Mary's liberation becomes the liberation of every person to say yes to God, to say yes to the call of God, to become a child of God, to become a servant of God, to become the bearer of God into a broken and hurting world. My first advent at the monastery in Cambridge, Massachusetts, was a difficult one for me. I was used to Christmases and preparing to go home at that time. And here I was at the monastery in Boston, far away from home, far away from my family, far away from my parents and my brother. Well, that was okay, but far away from my parents and in a different place. And it was cold. You know how cold Boston can be in the winter? Oh, in an old stone church building with a heater that was principally a water heater. And so at night at 2 o'clock in the morning, when it got really, really cold and the heating system would come on, you would hear this knocking sound. Knock, 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 knock. And it sounded like a ghost was clanging down the hall. Like in the Christmas Carol, when Marley comes to visit Ebenezer Scrooge and you hear the clang, clang, clang. That's what it sounded like. And here I am laying, and monks call it their cell. I'm laying in my cell, listening to this banging and wondering, what am I doing here? And I'm getting up for morning prayers at the ungodly hour of 5:30 and sitting in the chapel. And there was this icon, which you'll see on Christmas Eve, sitting on the altar. And I'm sitting there in the dark with the flickering candles, thanking God for a shirt and a t-shirt and a sweater and the cassock because it was cold. And I'm sitting there looking at this icon of Mary holding Jesus, presenting Jesus to me, giving Jesus to me. And if you know anything about Orthodox iconography, the icons of the Eastern Orthodox Church, you know that Jesus in this icon didn't look like a little baby, looked like a tiny little human adult, human being. She's presenting Jesus to me. And I remember focusing in as the candle flickered, the shadows adjusted in just such a way that the light shone specifically on her eyes. And at one moment, her eyes were looking at Jesus. And in the next moment, her eyes are looking at me. As if she is saying, I bore Christ into the world by my faith. Saying yes to the call of God. Saying yes to the call to be the mother of Christ. Saying yes, I bore God into this world in Jesus, and you can do so too. Now, I may have bore him through the womb, but you can bear him through the womb of your heart by faith. And bear, present, proclaim, and give to the world my son. That made Christmas for me. That changed Christmas for me. I must admit, as I was growing up, for me, Christmas was about Santa Claus is coming to town. That changed Christmas for me. It transformed it in a way that is hard to express. I still look at the days up to Christmas, especially the first several Sundays in December, as sort of a drudgery. I hate Christmas shopping. I hate it with a passion. Standing in line, trying to find a gift for someone who you cannot buy for because they have absolutely everything. Not knowing what to get. Pulling your hair out, calling my nephew's mother. What can I get, Ben? Well, he needs a new car. Do I look like Bill Gates? He needs money. Well, who doesn't? Last year I got him season passes, to Six Flags, and he loved that. But he's going off to college in this year, and that will kind of lose its strength after a half a year. What can I get my nephew? That's a hard thing to figure out. What do you get your mother when your mother has everything she needs and more? And she says, don't get me anything. Now, there you go. That's the hard one. And you've made a pact with your mother and your brother that this year you will buy only for your nephew. And you know that they're going to break that pact and make you look like dirt if you keep it. I hate the run-up to Christmas, but I love the celebration of the incarnation, the coming of God to be with us, because it is the moment of supreme liberation for every human being, when we all are given the power, the ability, the authority to say yes to God's calling. If this little girl, if Mary, a little Jewish girl, could say yes to God's calling in her life and bear the very real presence of God into a broken and hurting world, so also we can exercise faith and bear through our witness, our expression, our gifts, our service, so we can bear into a really broken and really hurting world the wonderful grace of the love and real presence of Jesus the Christ. To me, Christmas has become a time of proclaiming the presence of God in this world. The presence of God that we are all called to express to all. To me, this is a moment of supreme liberation. And I look to Mary as an example. I look to this little Jewish girl for an example for my faith in God, that God would enable me. Throughout the Eastern Orthodox tradition of the church, Mary is called the Theotokos, which is Greek for God-bearer. Sometimes it's translated as Mother of God. I don't mind that either. But God-bearer gives it strength for us. Just as Mary was called to be the Theotokos, the bearer of God into this world in Jesus of Nazareth, so also we are called to be Theotokai, the bearers of God into a broken and hurting world. As we celebrate the coming of God to be with us in the conception and birth of Jesus this week, may we be open to the call of God as Mary was. May we be open to the call of God and act as Mary acted. May we be open to the call of God and say yes. And then what was said of Mary may actually be said of us. Blessed are you among people, and blessed is the fruit of your faith, Jesus the Christ, whose presence you express to all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2009 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.